The Terminal Man, Disc 7.
Chapter 13. Janet Ross stood outside the treatment room in the emergency ward, watching through the small glass window. There were six people in there taking care of Morris, all clustered around him. She couldn't see much. All she could really see were his feet. He had one shoe on, the other was off. There was a lot of blood. Most of the EW people were spattered with it. Standing outside with her, Anders said, "I don't have to tell you what I think of this."
"No,"
she said. "The man is extremely dangerous. Morris should have waited for the police."
"But the police didn't catch him,"
she said, suddenly angry. Anders didn't understand anything. He didn't understand how you could feel responsible for a patient, how you could want to take care of somebody.
"Morris didn't catch him either," Anders said.
"And why didn't the police get him?"
"Benson was gone when they got to the hangar. There are several exits from the hangar, and they couldn't all be covered. They found Morris under the wing and the mechanic on top of the wing, and they were both pretty badly hurt."
The treatment room door opened. Ellis came out, looking haggard, unshaven, defeated.
"How is he?"
Ross said.
"He's okay," Ellis said. "He won't have much to say for a few weeks, but he's okay. They're taking him to surgery now to wire up his jaw and get all the teeth out."
He turned to Anders.
"Did they find the weapon?"
Anders nodded.
2-foot section of lead pipe."
"He must have got it right in the mouth," Ellis said. "But at least he didn't inhale any of the loose teeth, the bronchi are clean on lung films."
He put his arm around Janet.
"They'll fix him up."
"What about the other one?"
"The mechanic?" Ellis shook his head. "I wouldn't place bets. His nose was shattered and the nasal bones were driven up into the substance of the brain. He's leaking CSF through the nostrils. A lot of bleeding and a big problem with encephalitis."
Anders said,
"How do you assess his chances?"
"He's on the critical list."
"All right," Anders said. He walked off.
Ross walked with Ellis out of the emergency ward toward the cafeteria. Ellis kept his arm around her shoulders.
"This has turned into a horrible mess," he said.
"Will he really be all right?"
"Sure."
"He was kind of good-looking."
"He'll get his jaw back together. He'll be fine."
She shuddered.
"Cold?"
"Cold,"
she said.
"And tired. Very tired."
She had coffee with Ellis in the cafeteria. It was 6:30, and there were a lot of staff people eating. Ellis ate slowly, his movement showing fatigue.
"It's funny," he said.
"What?"
"I had a call this afternoon from Minnesota. They have a professorship in neurosurgery to fill. Asked me if I was interested."
She didn't say anything.
"Isn't that funny?"
"No,"
she said. "I told them I wasn't considering anything until I was fired here," he said.
"Are you sure that'll happen?"
"Aren't you?" he said.
He stared across the cafeteria at all the nurses and interns and residents in white.
"I wouldn't like Minnesota.